Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in earth and heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. This morning we are looking at a pastor's prayer. The Apostle Paul is on his knees, wrestling with God for the hearts and minds of the Ephesians that he has led to the Lord of the church, that he has been instrumental in establishing. And he wants these people to know like never before the excitement of what God has done for them in Jesus. And he wants them to realize the supernatural power with which their ordinary lives are penetrated. And speaking to them, he still speaks to you and to me. Something beyond our wildest dreams. He says there in that last verse that we read, "Oh, that you might know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you would know the width and the length and the depth and the height of God's love in Jesus Christ." What a prayer! What an incredible thing to ask God for a people. And we've got the privilege of peeking into Paul's prayer closet, seeing him on his knees, and there making intercession for his people as he asked them to know, as he asked God to let them know the dimensions of Christ's love. He says, "Oh, that you would comprehend." Now, we think of comprehend as a simple understanding. You study a subject. You know the rules and the backgrounds of the discipline of that subject. And you say, "Well, okay, now I understand it." Excuse me. Paul is going beyond that. What he is saying is, I want you to take eagerly. I want you to seize. I want you to possess. I want you to make it your own, that you would know the love of Christ, its width, its length, its depth, its height. More than just a simple mental understanding, but a comprehension that says, this is mine. This is who I am in the Lord. This is what Jesus has done for me. So let's look at those four dimensions. The dimensions of Christ's love. First, he says, I want you to know the width of the love of Jesus. What's the significance of that symbolism? God's love in Christ is as wide as the universe. The two arms of our Savior stretched out in death, symbolically reaching for all the world and encircling everyone who will believe. It means that the central fact of any of us is not our nationality, our race, our color, not our education or our illiteracy, Not whether we're a communist or a capitalist, sophisticated or simple. The basic, simple, central fact is this. God is not ashamed to be called our God, and Jesus is not ashamed to be called our brother. The width of the love of Jesus breaks so many man-made barriers down. Things which we consider dreadfully important are simply brought level by the love of God. In Jesus' day, at the temple in Jerusalem, there was the place that was called the Holy of Holies. And that place was surrounded by a wall that went all the way around the temple area to keep anybody away from that place. And the wall was about waist high. It went around the whole thing. And there were signs posted along the way. Every so often there was a no trespassing sign. And archaeologists have found one of those signs. And what it said was, the person who passes this point is responsible for the death that will surely overtake him. Wow. You're not a Jew. You cross that, you're responsible for the death that'll overtake you. You're a woman. You're not able to enter into that place. There's a court of the women, but you can't enter into that place. And you're responsible for the death that'll overtake you. But Christ, Paul says, in this same letter of Ephesians, broke down that wall of partition. By His death and resurrection, He smashed it to atoms. And there is therefore no longer Jew and Greek, male and female, free and slave. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Oh, He says that you might know the width of the love of Jesus. Will we dare to ask God to give us something of the width of that love? Suppose we really had it. Think what would happen. Think of the friction that would be eliminated. Think of the temperamental difficulties that would be overcome. Think of the fellowship that there would be, where today there is suspicion and mistrust. Oh, that you would know, Paul prays. I want them to know how wide your love is in Jesus Christ. And then secondly, he prays, I want you to know the length of the love of Jesus. The length of it. Now, what does that symbolize? It means that this is a love which will go to all lengths. Stop short of nothing. A love which will never dream of calculating, more or less, but which gives itself irrevocably and forever. It means that the longest trail into the wilderness is not too long or too hard for that love to travel. Not even if it is as long and hard as the way of the cross. Is it not true to say that on the human level, the test of love, the only conclusive test, is the length to which it is prepared to go in action and in devotion? In particular, words are no test of love. The one true test is the length that it will go in self-sacrifice and self-giving. You've heard the story of the young man who was pledging his love to the young woman, trying to win her to his heart, to do his case. He told her, I will climb the highest mountain for you. I'll swim the deepest river for you. I'll face wild animals for you. I'll stand against any foe for you. And I'll come over tonight if it does not rain. That's a limitation. That's not a pledge of love. The real test of love is the length to which it will go. I read a story about men in a coal mine who, at the risk of their lives, stayed underground to try to find their fellows who had been trapped in a cave-in. It's the love of parents on the missionary field whose daughter died of leprosy. And instead of becoming embittered by it, they stayed. And they established a leper colony. And they gave their lives to these people in love of Christ. And you may be in your spirit today, in your heart today, thinking about a loved one, a friend, a neighbor. And you're carrying a burden in your heart for that person. You want them to know the love of God. And you're praying and you're seeking God on their behalf. The length is the test of love. Listen to John in one of the greatest sentences he ever penned. Hereby we realize what love means. That God laid down His life for us. Jesus Christ, God the Son, laid down His life for us. Hereby we realize what love means. It's as though He says, I never understood what love was until one day I came face to face with the cross, until I stumbled upon that and in agony I saw Him hanging there. Suffering and dying. And I heard Him cry, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I saw the light of peace and victory in those dying eyes. And all of a sudden I knew that all I'd ever thought of love was pitifully poor and inadequate. And hereby we perceive the love of God, that His Son would lay down His life for us. Paul says, oh, that you may know the length of the love of Jesus. And then third, he says, I want you to know the depth of the love of Jesus. The depth of it. What do you think that symbolizes? From the heights of heaven, God in Jesus Christ came down to our level. And not only down to the level of humanity at its noblest and best, but far lower than that, down into the inferno of ugliness and shame that the sins of man create. So that when you stand gazing at Calvary, there is something which assures you not only of the top reaching to heaven, not only the two arms reaching out to embrace the whole world, but also the shaft that reaches down to where the lowest and the least and the lost are. And there to find the love of Jesus. Friend and foe alike have stood amazed at that. They sneered at Jesus and said, He's the friend of publicans and sinners. And no doubt they would talk and gossip. What a pity that He has lowered Himself like this. He might have done something worthwhile if only He'd looked after His reputation a little better. But now, well, you know how it is. A man is judged by the company he keeps. And I imagine that another would step up to take up the tale. Yeah, did you hear about last night? It was outside of Zacchaeus' house. You know the kind of man he is. The less said about his character, the better. But He's given His soul over to Rome to steal from us taxes to pay to these unbelievers. And there were tax collectors and renegades and rogues and extortioners, all kinds of people like that who were going into Zacchaeus' house. It was rumored there was a party there, a supper party. And the invited guest was Jesus of Nazareth. And I imagine in this tale, the man standing there and saying, "As I stood and watched, I tell you that the very dregs of town were there. Foul things that creep about under the cover of dark. And by and by Jesus came, and I could tell that He was going to go in there, and I stopped Him. And I said, don't go in there. It's not safe. The company is noxious. It's not worth it. But He stepped around me. And as He went past, He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." And of course, the group would listen in horror as Jesus went in and closed the door and was with those people. Oh, the utter abasement of it. Oh, the utter shame of it. The lowering, the degradation, the depth of it. But look across the years, my sisters, my brothers. Look across the years and see it turned into glory. Oh, the depth of the love of Christ that reached to where I was, that reached to where you were. And where would any of us be today if it were not for the depth of the love of Jesus? Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I know what that means. I've been there. So have you. The day of feeling baffled and defeated and spiritually bankrupt and alone. The psalmist says, "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for mourning." I say, more than they that watch for mourning. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for mourning. Do you remember the story of a lawyer who was on an enemy ship watching as the enemy fleet bombarded his town? The lawyer's name was Francis Scott Key. And you remember that he wrote, "Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming?" In other words, we're waiting for morning to see if the flag's still there. And the psalmist says, "My soul waits for God more than that." And no one ever waited for God in vain. No cry from the depths was ever unanswered. Deep as your need is, the grace of Christ is deeper far. And it is on that level of sheer desperate need that His greatest work is done. For always, even at the lowest depths, underneath are the everlasting arms. This is the divine answer to the human dilemma, and it's better, far better than our wildest dreams. Oh, that you may know, Paul says, the depth of the love of Jesus. And finally, Paul says, I want you to know the height of the love of Jesus. The height of it. What do you think that symbolizes? Well, surely this. Jesus Christ has opened the gates of heaven to us. He's taken our lowly lives and has bound them with the gold of God's love, and He has opened the gates of heaven that we can go there. That when this life has concluded, we have a place there and a part there. John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Behold, what an unearthly love, that we should be called the children of God." And then comes a shout, "And so we are." Children of God. And so we are. That's the height of the love of Jesus. That you and I, knowing ourselves to be frail children of dust and feeble as frail, poor, pathetic bunglers making a sorry tangle of our lives, feeling sometimes like no one cares, what does it matter? And the game is almost up. That we, knowing ourselves so well, should be lifted up and be treated by Christ on that level as daughters and sons of God. And so we are. We sing sometimes as a hymn of invitation, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." There's one verse. "Just as I am, of that free love, the breadth, length, depth, and height to prove. Here for a season, then above, O Lamb of God, I come." Paul's prayer for Ephesus, my prayer for you. Oh, that we would know the width and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. It's all ours. Oh, Lamb of God, I come.